invite you to turn to God's holy word, Mark chapter 14. We'll look at the first nine verses as our text verses today. And this deals with the act of Mary of Bethany. There are a number of Marys mentioned in the Bible, the Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene. But this is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. The act of Mary of Bethany. And I think there are a lot of different things that this act typifies and exemplifies to us, and gives us some patterns of how we should live our lives as born-again believers. The time setting of this was the last week in the life of Christ. The next few Sunday morning messages will be dealing with some of the events that took place during those last weeks and days of his life. He says in verse 1, Mark 14, 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. Underscore that phrase there. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And once again, that is being done. Amen. We have this magnificent story of this precious lady who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, I believe, is an example to us of sacrifice. That's a good word, sacrifice. Here they were in Bethany. Christ, we know, retired there in Bethany at least two times in the last week of his life. They were there at the house of a man by the name of Simon the leper. Other disciples were there. Mary was there. Martha, Lazarus. And during a meal, Mary of Bethany, perhaps it was during that time, slipped out and she returned with an alabaster box. An alabaster box that had a substance in it that was very precious. Alabaster is sort of a calcium-like, lime-like substance, and it really looks like marble. When I was in Cairo, Egypt, a few years ago, we went to the mosque of Muhammad Ali. And from a distance, it looked like it was marble. It was so magnificent and so beautiful. And when we got there, the guide was telling us that it was actually alabaster. Nevertheless, it was very, very beautiful. And this was what this was made out of. Alabaster imported, this alabaster, it was imported from Egypt. And then inside that, the contents was a perfume. And this perfume was called nard. that was called spikenard. It came from nard. It came from a spike root. It was very, very expensive, very, very costly. They would import it in from India there into the Holy Land, as we would know it, and this was where that probably came from. But inside it had a precious and very, very costly perfume that was there. Now, when she did this, there was an insider that was there that criticized it. They didn't like it. There's always someone around to take care of that kind of thing. But in this case, it was Judas. We know, when you look at the synoptic accounts, all the other accounts, the like accounts of what took place, we know that Judas spoke up about it. And he was saying, we need to give that money. We should have sold that and given that money to the poor. After all, it was worth 300 pence. That would be maybe $60 or 300 days of work represented back in that day. So almost a whole year's worth of work this was representing. It was a lot. It was worth a lot of money, about like a gallon of gas today. But it was elaborate and extravagant. And here's the word that we need to see out of this, and that is the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. God's word speaks a lot about sacrifice. I believe that all true worship in the Old Testament and in the New Testament really involve sacrifice. Think of Abel. In that sacrifice that God accepted, it was a bloody sacrifice. Think of the high priest Aaron as he would go and offer a sacrifice. It was a bloody sacrifice where they were worshiping Almighty God. It speaks of a sacrifice and of worship and bringing it to God. And Mary made an example for us of sacrifice to God. It was an act of worship. And this act of worship was proven by the cost and the sacrifice of what she was worshiping the Lord with. I believe today Jesus is worthy of all of our worship, don't you? I mean, He is worthy. He is absolutely, totally, completely worthy of our sacrifice and of our worship to Him. Jesus is worthy in His person. There's no other person like the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless one, the sinless one who came to this earth by way of the virgin birth and lived the perfect life and died on the cross. That one is worthy of our worship today. He is worthy by virtue of His position. Who is He? He is the Son of God, God the Son. We can't fully understand all that, but I'm telling you, Jesus was God in the flesh on the earth. John reminds us of that and others, where Jesus came. He was the living Word of God, and He is worthy of our worship. Thank God He lived here and proved who He really was. Not only that, by virtue of His power. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, though He allowed them to crucify Him. Let me tell you, folks, He was not a victim of circumstances. Any moment He could have called 10,000 plus angels and wiped out everybody around Him. He said one time, they were looking for Him, He said, I am. That's all. He said, I am. In italicized, I am He. And Jesus just said, I am. And they fell back. A cohort of soldiers. Scores of soldiers fell backward. No, He was not a victim of circumstances. He was the Almighty God with all power. But He allowed people to crucify Him, but He showed who He was when He came up out of that tomb, that He was God's Son, God the Son, in all of His power. He's worthy of our sacrifice and worship today. Mary is telling us that she gave Jesus the very best that she had. She gave Jesus the very best that she had. Can you say that today? Can I say that today? You know, a lot of Christians give Jesus the leftovers. The leftovers of their time. The leftovers of their money. The leftovers of their talent and gifts. And He sort of finds Himself down low on the totem pole. And he doesn't have, you know, an Indian totem pole. The reason you're the lone man on the totem pole is because you weren't as important as the one on top. And Jesus sometimes gets put on the lower part. He should be on the top of our schedule, our priorities, everything that we're involved in our life. Not the leftovers. She didn't say, I'm going to give him some leftovers. Not second-handed stuff. The Bible says she hath done what she could. Maybe she couldn't do what some others could do, but she could do what she could do. And she did her best, which represents that sacrifice. Could this today be said of me? Could it be said of you? That we've done what we could. That we've given him our very best. We are giving him our very best. Not everybody can be a David Livingston. Only a few of those like that have ever lived. Not everybody could be a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Every young preacher would like to be a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Not everybody could be a D.L. Moody. And all of these famous in the limelight and many others we could name, even in our own generation, who are in the limelight of success. Not everybody can be there. But Mary was commended simply because she gave the very best she had and all that she had that represented that sacrifice. She did that. That's all God's asking us to do. God's asking us to do it. And I believe we should give him our best. Give him ourselves. That's where it all starts. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12:1. Present your body, yourself. First, you start there. You give yourself to the Lord. We present ourselves, and then it's no problem to present our substance and to give him our service as we love him that much and we want to do what we can and give him our best. Are you giving him your best today? This was not only an expression of sacrifice, but I believe it was an expression of spiritual insight that she had that resulted in her doing what she did, her service. She had spiritual insight, therefore she did what she did. Why didn't the apostles and Martha, who was so busy all the time, and Lazarus, why did they not anoint Jesus Christ? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they think of it? They were not thinking of it because Mary was the one that really grasped what was going on. She had been sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's not a bad place to be. How do you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ? You spend a lot of time in the Word of God. That's how you do that. And coming to church and doing what God tells us to do. But Mary had that insight, and they didn't quite understand yet about the crucifixion. But evidently, she did. She was a good listener. Martha was busy serving. Mary was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because she understood what was going on, at least to some degree more than they did what she did. Now, works are not a prerequisite to salvation. Let me tell you that. Some of you are still trying to depend on your works to get to heaven. Mary was not trying to earn her favor with Jesus. She was not trying to get to heaven by doing what she did. Works are not a prerequisite to salvation. But works are always a product of salvation. And Mary knew who Jesus was, and she understood he was going to die for her on the cross, and she wanted to show by this deed in her works that she had that insight about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved him so very much. How much do we love him today? Do we have that kind of insight? D.L. Moody, his before and after of works, here's what he said, and I quote what he said. Before I was saved, I worked toward the cross, thinking I could be saved by my works. But once when the truth dawned upon me that by grace man is saved, through faith, and that not of works, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and since that time I have worked from the cross. That's the right order. First you get saved, and then because you're saved, you work out the salvation that is already in you. You cannot earn your way to heaven, folks. Don't even begin to try. You'll waste your time. Mary heard the word of God and heeded it. She was anointing him for his burial. She knew he was going to die for her and pay her sin debt. And that he did, and for yours too, and I'm glad to tell you that. We can do the very same thing. We can do a work or works that come out of our being born again for the Lord. And you qualify, friend. I know, because the Bible gives us a list of people who can serve God and give God their best. And he names them like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, I'll take the weak things. Would anybody here qualify? I'll take the foolish things. I'll take the base things. I'll take the despised things. Things that maybe the world looks down on. Things which are not, to bring about things which are. Jesus said, I'll do that. In other words, he's saying to everybody in this building, I can use you. I can use you. I want to use you. And if you understand and you love me and you understand what I've done for you, then you should be willing to make that kind of sacrifice, and those kinds of works should be in our life. A group of businessmen, industrialists, were over in India, and they were observing a medical missionary that was there along with another missionary. And that medical missionary was working with lepers. When I was in India a few years ago, we went to a leper colony. I saw people whose noses were missing, ears were missing, hands, fingers, part of their feet were missing. And they were there in that leper colony. Leprosy is, a lot of people think leprosy has gone away and there is no more leprosy. There's a group down in Louisiana, an area where they have lepers. And these lepers are very pitiful. And a lot of people don't want to be around them, don't want to touch them. They're afraid that they might get leprosy. But one of the industrialists said to this man, I wouldn't do that for $1 million a day. I would not do what you're doing for $1 million a day. The missionary doctor replied, I wouldn't either, but I'll gladly do it for Christ. Amen. That's the attitude we need. Yes, amen. I'll gladly do what I wouldn't do for any other reason. I'll gladly do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that medical missionary had spiritual insight resulting in serving God. I just believe when you get a good old dose of old-fashioned, God-sent, heaven-sent salvation, it'll reach your soul and you'll want to do something for God. You'll want to be busy doing something, serving, sacrificing for the Lord. And then there's the establishment of a memorial. I like verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. You see, I believe Jesus really took notice of this, don't you? He said, I noticed this so much. It has such a great lesson to so many people. I'm going to include it in the inspired holy word of God. So I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She did a good thing, didn't she? What a eulogy. Did you know you can have the same kind of eulogy? You can have the same kind of thing. It's not going to be put in the Bible. The Bible's complete and that's done. But you can have that kind of commendation from God in heaven. You can have the same. Ian McLaren, the old great Scots preacher, visited a Scottish woman and she was weeping and crying because she felt like she really hadn't done a whole lot for God. That she really hadn't lived the Christian life like she wanted to. And he asked her, well, haven't you been a Christian? Haven't you lived the Christian life? She replied and said to the old Scots preacher, yes, I have. Well, just what have you done? He said. She said, well, I've cooked and washed dishes 3 times a day. I've ironed clothes. I've mended socks. I've swept floors. I've made up beds. I've run errands, but I've done so little for God. And then Ian McLaren said to her, what about your boys? Tell me about your boys. She had 4 sons. Matthew, Mark, Luke, can you guess the other one? Say it. John. 4 boys. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew and Mark are in China on the mission field, she said. Luke is in Africa. John's my baby, and when I die, he's going to Africa as a missionary. And Ian McLaren replied, Mother, is that the appraisal of your life, washing, ironing, etc.? When we get to heaven, he said, I'll gladly trade mansions with you. Yours will be probably closer to the throne, closer to heaven. She hath done what she hath done. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter what it is. Do it for the glory of God. And wherever you can serve, if you're an usher, serve to the glory of God. If you're working in the nursery, I don't know if they're hearing me back there or not, but God bless the nursery workers. They're doing it for the glory of God. People get saved because nursery workers are back there. If you're teaching a class, do it to the glory of God. If you're singing in the choir, sing to the glory of God. If you're driving a bus, do it to the glory of God. If you're doing whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. It may not seem important to you. If you're a godly housewife, do it to the glory of God. Whatever your calling is, whatever your position is, whatever you're doing, whatever you do. And by the way, do something for the glory of God. But understand that it is for His glory. It may mean sacrifice, and it should. But thank God, when we know and understand who Jesus is, what He has said, it will motivate us and move us, if we've been listening, to do something for Him every day and to serve Him with all our life and give Him the very best, the very best, the very best that we have. I believe He deserves it. And I believe Mary believed it. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? Deal with that question in your heart. Lost person, I'm glad to tell you, you can be saved. Mary had to be saved. And she didn't get saved, as I said, by her works. She wasn't doing this to earn her salvation. She was doing it because she knew Jesus was her Savior. And that's where you start. You cannot earn your way to heaven. Come to Jesus like Mary did. Get saved. Get born again. Be born again from above by the Spirit of God. And then out of your life, totally give your life to Jesus Christ. We laugh sometimes at the word that some people use when they say commit your life to Christ. Friend, when you get saved, you should commit your life to Christ. You got to be born again, but there ought to be some commitment. After we have come to Christ, she had done what she could. Are you doing what you can? You can be saved. Are you sacrificing? Could it be said of you that you're the kind of Christian who so loves Jesus that you sacrifice, pay the price, and no matter what, you give Him your best? Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, there are those, no doubt, that are here today without Jesus. They've never been saved. They've been trying to be saved and still putting forth an effort to get to heaven. And yet they're doing it the wrong way. Help them to realize that we get saved by admitting we're sinners, lost, that we're bankrupt spiritually, and we come to You and ask You to come into our hearts. And based on the shed blood of Christ, what He did, just as Mary knew what He was going to do, die for, that we can be saved. And I pray that unsaved people would come today. And Lord, I pray that we who name the name of Christ, we who say we're Christians, that we're Your children, may You please help us, like Mary, to give You our best, to live a holy life, a clean life, a pure life, a yielded life, a sacrificial life for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.